Hello and welcome everybody to the YDDL podcast. I am your host, Chris Schutzer, coming at you live with another off-season edition. I think this is episode 3, and I'm joined as always by Alex Eifler. Alex, say hi.
Good morning, everyone.
You know, I never know why I sometimes say co-commissioner and sometimes don't. You are the co-commissioner. And we are also going to be joined, hopefully, in the middle of this podcast. First time we'll be interrupted midstream by Joe McLaughlin, former champion and current playoff contender and guy who destroyed me in a trade a year and a half ago that is leaving my team in shambles. Alex, I think our plan for today is to, as usual, we're going to just field a few like random thoughts. And then, like we did last time, we'll just start working our way up the ladder again. Last time, which trade was that, by the way?
I wanted to hear about that trade. Can we, or should we talk about that when Joe gets on? Back to the trade?
Yeah, we will talk about it when he gets on, because at the time it felt fair, and now it feels like I still have a hangover from it. So it was a year and a half ago, and I was making a title run. It was the year you won, and like nobody was threatening you, and I had the only team that could. So I got Zach Ertz and Deshaun Watson for pick 101 that year, which turned into Kyler Murray, as well as Boyd and the wide receiver on the Panthers, DJ Moore.
Oh yeah,
and I also gave up one more pick, which I think is this year's pick that Joe traded to Shirley. I could be wrong.
Yeah, DJ Moore is legitimately good, and Kyler Murray is already probably a top five quarterback option this year. So
right.
You know, at this point, he's roughly at parity with Deshaun Watson, if not better, because the good wide receiver, who also is on your team, by the way, is now not with Watson anymore. He's with Murray. So that stinks. But, yeah, and Zach Ertz was kind of a nothing burger last year because of injuries. But actually, he wasn't that injured, was he? He just kind of wasn't great.
He had a few weeks that he was, like, really solid towards the end there, Alex. I think you're... Yeah. Like as everybody got hurt on the Eagles, he became like more and more of the target share. But that it just, you know, I think they're phasing him out as he gets older. That's really the issue with Ertz. But yeah. Well, anyway, Joe will come on and we'll let him brag about that trade and how it's, you know, brought him all this glory and is moving me towards a rebuild that's going to start at any moment. While we wait for him, you know, I didn't prepare you for this in full, but I know you've been thinking about it. I'm kind of curious if I can give you a lightning round COVID edition with the NFL. All right. So I'm going to give you a chance for some true false questions. And then you can go with after you give your gut on whether it's true or false, like what you think is going to happen. All right.
I'll give you my
true guess. Or false. The NFL is going to have preseason games this year.
Hmm. Good question. That is false.
So you think they're going to go like right into the regular season this year?
I think they're going to delay the season.
You think they're going to delay it? All right. So then let's just, I mean, this is not a true false, but week one of the NFL season will be played on.
Oh, I didn't realize you were done talking. I would say if it's usually played in early September, I would say that it's pushed off until maybe October, November. I do think that there will be enough pent up rage at that point that they will want to do something, but football's a hard, hard sport to play safely in a COVID environment. Probably one of the hardest, if not the hardest. So I don't know if there is a season. I think it's going to be delayed.
Okay. So, but do you think there's going to be a season? I mean, you're clearly saying that it's going to be delayed. So
I mean, it's going to be tough. Like, this is like, name me a harder sport other than like breathing directly into each other's mouths in the COVID environment. It's like this and like college Greco-Roman wrestling or something. Like, I can't imagine a sport that is less well suited to COVID than football. Like tennis, you could play right now. Shit, we could be playing tennis currently.
I mean,
why are we playing tennis?
In fact, there's a pretty fun ESPN video right now of like two people playing tennis across rooftops on a New York City street, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny. Absolutely. I mean, baseball's almost there. The problem is that the catcher has to stand too close to the batter. Otherwise, you know, you could play baseball. Although I'm worried that people would just realize how boring it was if actually we were to try to play baseball right now. It'd be so much pressure on baseball.
So like follow-up question then, like, let's assume a world where football loses a year. All right.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? Cause you're more tapped into the dynasty world than I am about what should happen for fairness sakes in dynasty leagues to the next draft.
So the consensus is that we will still do rookie drafts this year. And
I think you have to.
Of course. And that the, you know, what, you know, it would just like the contracts wouldn't toll. None of the players would get out of their current contracts or anything. It would just be like the season never happened. And then the question is, what would happen with the college players? You know, would they just grant college eligibility? Would the NCAA do anything right ever? And the answer to that's probably not. So whatever is the most exploitative, which is probably that they would not let people get out of anything, so they'd make them stay an extra year, is a safe bet. Because the NCAA, while terrible, is super, super predictable. The NCAA will do whatever's best for the NCAA. And whatever's worse for the student athletes, quote unquote. So that's going to be the bigger thing is, you know, what do you do with players who don't have enough seasons of eligibility? Although I suppose the rule is written, like, how many years that it's been since their high school playing. But then there's another open question about what about, yeah, it's complex. Are they just going to give everyone credit for this last semester? I mean, like, I have no conception of how the NCAA is going to do it. But the pros are just going to say, well, you didn't play, so all your contracts are still good. We'll just do another draft if the season doesn't happen. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they played in the spring, honestly. I'm fine with them taking the place of the XFL or the AAF or whatever it is and, you know, starting football in the spring. I'd be okay with that.
I had a lot of fun listening to you like think about the NFL just now. It's interesting. You know, the question I was asking was much more for dynasty reasons, like what we do with our draft if there's no season, right? Because we would
have to still do it.
I mean, sure, but like, do you just repeat the draft order of the previous year? That seems unfair. That's going to like overly be advantageous to the teams that were in the tank this past year.
And do we put the same name on the trophy again for the season that didn't happen? I mean, there's other options. Like, you could do we could do a different order. We could do the draft a different way.
So what I've heard is, you do it a different way. You give everybody $100 fake dollars, and then you let them bid on players. Like auction style.
That's essentially what you do is what we could do for the season is we could dump an extra $100 into the fab budgets and then dump all of the rookies into the fab pool.
That would be interesting. So like it'd be chaos,
but again, you'd have to decide and prioritize whether you wanted rookies or if you wanted to have money left over to get like veterans during the season. So it would accelerate rebuilds.
I prefer an actual like auction draft myself where like everybody gets, you know, a one-time only auction budget where you can have a maximum of say 5 new players each. And some teams would
obviously. You can't set a max number of players. That ruins strategies. You got to just say, hey, here's $100. If you want to pick someone up, you got to make room for him.
So my objection to that is that we currently have a 4-round rookie draft. Like, you can't let a team walk out of there with 9 new players.
Why not?
Like, it doesn't make sense. You sure can't. Does. We can't have more players. We can't have more players drafted than we have in a regular draft. There has to be a cap. Otherwise, it's a different league, man. Right? Like,
it's their free agents. I mean, like, it's not like you can't pick up the rookies in free agency. It's not like you can't trade for 4th-round picks. I mean, like, you could trade a couple waiver wire bucks for a 4th-round pick right now, and you could come out of a draft easily with 12 players. I mean, I won't do it because my team is good, but, like, if you had a crap team, why wouldn't you trade for a bunch of 3rd and 4th rounds and take those picks? There's no rule against that.
Well, clearly this all needs to be flushed out, but I think that would be my preference, is finding some system, if there is no season, where we have an auction draft that following year. Mm-hmm. Because level, it's the only field. Way to really make, exactly. I don't think it would be fair to the best teams or the worst teams from the previous year to keep it up that way. So also, it'll be super interesting to have a year, as you point out, where we'd have so much less film. I mean, like, going in, like, maybe the combine happens, because you can do that safely on some level. But, like, if there's no NFL season, there's no college season, then how do we on any level know which guys are going to be the most NFL ready? It would just be completely wackadoodle.
I mean, we don't actually know anything in the first place. And yes, you did say wackadoodle. I was going to let it go, but you called yourself.
No, I love wackadoodle. I wasn't a call. I was proud. I mean, I think we should get wackadoodle in the sentence that we speak a little more often here.
No, it's gone from the lexicon for good reasons.
Fair enough. So I think most of my questions we've actually sort of tangentially answered, but I'm going to throw you one more. Give me the 3 dynasty players whose value you think would take the greatest hit losing an NFL season. And now this is really unfair, because you've had no time to prepare for this question at all. I mean, to me, like, last time we spoke so much about Tom Brady. If he's planning on playing till 45, he goes from 2 seasons to 1. That's a good example of somebody who really is hoping to have a season here.
But I mean, he also gets another year to rest his body. The question is, which is more important, the rest or the muscle breakdown and the aging?
I'm going to give you a different wrinkle, right? Which is that I think there are also players that might now have a chance, if there is a season, to find themselves in a job and rehabilitate their image. See Jameis Winston. But if you all of a sudden put, you know, 5 other brand new quarterbacks in that have never been looked at, then suddenly he might be out of a job for good. Right.
Not to mention the fact that they're not drug testing right now, and the new CBA makes the drug testing very different, and everyone's stuck in their houses. So I'm going to let you put the pieces together on what a lot of NFL players are doing right now. And it's smoking weed and playing Madden and hanging out with their families. But some of them are not going to be in fighting shape when and if the season begins again. So I think that the players who have the most to lose are the players who are going to do the worst. I agree. Jameis is probably a good one there. I mean, I think that on the other hand, Cam Newton might gain something, whereas he might get some time to rehab his shoulder and, you know, come back stronger and not have to play a year injured.
So I also think every running back takes a pretty big hit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Even though the bodies come back more rested, I just think you don't want to be that extra year older.
Yeah, they just don't snap back as well when they're older. So I think that particularly the older, the ones who are kind of toward the back of their age curve, I think that it's going to be really hard for them to, like, I think it's going to be tough for, like, a guy like Zeke. Or say, I don't know. Who are some other older running backs who've taken a good amount of punishment right now, but are still kind of on the top of their game?
How about Melvin Gordon?
Yeah. And he's going to play with Las Vegas next year. Is that right?
I thought it was Denver.
Oh, Denver. Yep. Sorry. Denver. I was one state off. Yeah.
I think the clear winners are anyone who's currently rehabbing a knee and has a shot to then like bounce back fully healthy, as opposed to like, when are they going to play? And there's a few of those actually. So, you know, it'll be an interesting thing if it comes to pass. I think, you know, what the conversations I've had around it, the NFL has the strongest grip over its union of any of the American professional sports. The flip side is there are just so many more players that the risk is so much higher. And the threshold that it seems that, you know, professional sports have right now, at least for when you cancel, like if you have one locker room that gets hit, do you cancel that week's game? And if the answer to that question is yes, then it's hard to fathom a season happening on any level before there's some form of a vaccine, unless you're going to quarantine the players, same as it is for baseball. And I don't think
we're not close to a vaccine either. That's the thing. We're not anywhere close.
Yeah.
Which is, well, I mean, it's super unfortunate, but yeah, it's going to be a wild summer. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is that everything is going to be magnified by the fact that everyone is just continues to be in their homes with their children, just stewing. And I think everyone's going to be super ready to get out there, but the risks and the resurgence of this thing is going to be really tricky. And
yep,
it's one thing to go to an office job where you can wear a mask, where you, if you want to, you can wear gloves, you can move people apart. You know, you can take precautions, but you can't in football. Like, are we going to see football players in masks?
No, you are not. Yeah, no, I see your point. I think we take this conversation and we continue to have it.
Oh, Joseph. Hold on. There's someone in the room. I hear someone knocking. I am going to admit one Joseph. Joe McLaughlin. His iPhone is joining the call as we speak. Joe, are you there?
Gentlemen.
I'm here. Look at that.
I'm here.
Comes at us live.
That's right. Kind of. I just got woken up out of bed, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I'll admit I did zero preparing you for this. Other than you and I spoke about it like 2 weeks ago, and then Alex like sent you this random podcast thing yesterday, which you clearly did not see.
Nope. I sent it this morning, and I sent it for the wrong time. I did not do well.
It's fine. All I had to do was get a cup of coffee, and I'm ready. It's not like I'm going to do anything today. So let's do this.
Yeah. So
how you guys doing?
So we're both good, and good. You know, this gives us a good transition moment, Joe. We've been talking about like the ins and outs of what will happen if there is no season. Will there be a season? That type of thing.
Right.
You know, we've been talking about it both from the angle of the NFL players that could potentially gain or lose value, but also just for us thinking about like what that means for a follow-up rookie draft, et cetera. But you know what, Joe? We also talked very briefly about the slaughter that occurred in our most recent trade a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. I love that trade. Literally, the thing that keeps me remotely relevant is picking your pocket every once in a while. Nah, just kidding. That was total luck. But yeah, that was a fun trade. We can talk about that. Sure.
You know what? I think I'm done talking about it, because I don't want to have another podcast first of somebody crying on the podcast.
Yeah, just, nobody needs that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess with your question, it's just so surreal. Every time you think something's gonna come back, you just can't. You can't make any plans. You don't know. I mean, I'm in the, not to completely shift gears, but I'm in the food service industry. Many of you guys know I'm a chef, and I don't know if I'm going to have an industry, like when, you know what I mean? So it's as cool as fantasy football is, it's like, well, I think that they're dealing with a lot of the same stuff. Cause once you try to put, you know, hundreds and thousands of people together, even just to run the NFL and Like, I'm interested to see how this draft goes. I think that'll be, you know, interesting to see how, I don't know, just to see what the plausibility of trying to put all this stuff together is when you just don't know.
The NFL has so much money to gain and lose here with television that I think they are committed to, like, postponing any decisions as long as they possibly can. But yeah. I'm with you. I'm very curious to see what this televised situation will look like, given that they can't have people together. Like, right. I know it's going to be like people on their iPhones in their basement. You know, it'll be weird. And, you know, Joe, definitely thinking of you and all of our restaurant workers. Do you guys in your line of work, do you guys have a GoFundMe page right now?
I'm most of my crew, the ones I worry about are my employees that, I mean, I'm not actually with my company right now. They're still going on. If you guys don't know, I'm with a company in New York called Dig In, which has like 30 locations in the city. And then we went down to 11. I left about 3 weeks ago now. I took a furlough and, you know, thinking, oh, I'll be back in like maybe a month at the earliest. And now we don't know. But the ones I worry about are my employees. But they got pretty well taken care of. My company did pretty good by them. And so they're doing okay. I haven't heard from anybody. They're in real need, but they know that we can, but I don't directly have a any GoFundMe stuff. If anything comes up,
I meant it less specifically about you. It's more like the restaurant industry in general. Like one of my favorite places here closed down, Bon Me, and they set up a GoFundMe page because their workers, you know, they need the income right now. So like, yeah,
right.
You know, not trying to turn this into like a fun drive here, podcast.
Oh, no, not at all. But I think it's important to look and see how you can help people too. I know my crew, I'm thinking about them and reaching out to them all the time. So it's, you know, I got a lot of my crew comes from the Bronx where they're digging huge mass graves. Not to completely bum you guys out, but it's real here, man. It's real.
Yeah. It does feel a little silly to be doing a podcast when, you know, we're talking about stuff like that. But I think the reason that we're doing it is mostly just because we're trying to find some sense of normalcy in a crazy time.
Yeah.
Alex and I talked about that before we started the series a couple podcasts ago. And I just think, you know, the more connectivity we can have right now, the better. But obviously priorities are priorities. Anyway, but Joe, you're hanging in there. I know you're in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the hottest of hot zones in terms of the country. But it does seem like it's starting to turn around according to the news. So
Well, we're on lockdown. We've been in our apartment for, you know, 3 weeks. Like I said, we took a bike ride yesterday, went out a little bit, just, you know, keeping our distance and all that. But we did go to a park yesterday, and there was people out. I saw people playing soccer and all that kind of stuff over in Williamsburg. And but I think people are conscious of it, but still, it's still a thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we transition to some football talk?
Let's do it.
So we did talk, as I said before, about just like the state of the league in general. And we're doing our series right now, Joe, where we're giving each team a little bit of time at the mic, if that makes sense. And this week we're going to be talking about, I'm going to call an audible here, Alex, and say that we'll talk about Brophy's team next time. And instead we'll let Joe talk about his squad. So we'll do my team. We'll do Dershowitz's team, and we'll do Joe's team. Is that all right with you, Alex?
Sure.
All right, so Brophy, we'll cover you next time. Let's start with Dershowitz, all right? Dershowitz, for those who don't know, because Alex and I were having a little bit of a funny moment on this, is that's Jeff. I think he's the only Jeff in the league, but my brother keeps calling him Dershowitz, so I've started calling him Dershowitz, and that's who he is. This is a team that I think has a very interesting call to make. I'm going to just read the roster from top to bottom to the two of you in case either one of you is not up on it right now. There's a couple young players. There's a lot of now guys. Are you all in on this team, or are you looking to do a full rebuild, soft rebuild. I'm sort of curious to get your takes. All right. At the QB position, he's got Goff and Cousins. And I think that's it. I don't think he has any. Oh, he's got Derek Carr too. So yeah, that was it. Derek Carr doesn't count. Then he's got Austin Eckler, Le'Veon Bell.
He's got Drew Locke as well. Hold on. If we're going to give him full credit, he's also got Drew Locke.
Okay, whatever. Okay, so going to running back. He's got Eckler, Bell. He's got Connor. He's got Damian Williams, Jamal Williams, Benny Snell, and Bo Scarborough. All right, so at the top, and I think these are the ones you really need to be paying attention to, Eckler, Bell, Connor is the real stable there, with Damian Williams maybe still hanging on to something, but who knows. Wide receiver, he's got Michael Thomas and Terry McLaurin, Robert Woods. He's got Jameson Crowder.
DK Metcalf.
He's got Metcalf. I missed that one.
And T.Y. Hilton.
All right.
Tight end. Initial team.
Tight end, he's got O.J. Howard, and he's got, I guess he's still playing here, Jason Witten.
Technically correct.
Do you think this team is a team that should still be pushing forward, or should he be trying to figure out the next generation here?
I'll kick this one off if you don't mind. I think this team got significantly better as a result of this offseason. You got Robert Woods no longer has to compete with whatever Brandon Cooks was doing, because Brandon Cooks has now been traded more in the real NFL than he has been in our dynasty league, which is an ignominious achievement, certainly. He's been traded every year for the past 4 years, I believe. So he's probably pretty good, right? O.J. Howard has potential to be an actual player now that Tom Brady's in town. Tom Brady, who likes to throw to tight ends, if you'll remember. Although he did have Rob Gronkowski when he was throwing to tight ends, who's potentially the greatest tight end to ever, you know, put on a helmet. James Conner hopefully gets a little healthy. I mean, I think that Conner probably will benefit a bit from a prolonged offseason. And Austin Eckler is the guy in L.A. Well, one of the L.A.s, the Charger, the bad L.A. So, you could say that Kirk Cousins lost his number one receiver, which is true. You could say that Jared Goff lost his number one receiver, which is false, because he lost his number three receiver. But, I think that this team is overall still a top five, top four team in our league. I think it's probably still pushing. Michael Thomas is still really, really good. Le'Veon Bell is still on the Jets. What's your take here?
I look at this.
Hang on. Are you back? This is podcast gold, everybody.
Please.
Hearing this or not. I think he's like scrambling to try to get his internet back up. So, we'll find out. No, I'm going to assume that we're going to have to edit this out in some way. So we'll figure out what goes on.
No worries.
What the heck happened?
Hold on. I think I might be back. Can you hear me?
He's back.
Okay. Oh, so
that's
so
exciting.
Is this live again or not?
I don't know if the recording ever stopped. It's a very strange thing that happened. My internet died. Like, I think the modem might have power cycled itself.
Okay. So there's a good chance that I will have to do a little bit of editing here, Alex, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But do you remember the last thing that you heard? I'm going to assume that it's still live.
So I think the last thing that I heard was I kicked it over to Joe after I talked.
Okay, well, we're gonna assume that that survived, and we were basically talking about like this team being all in on this year, and if he's all in on this year, I think I'd be looking to trade to improve the quarterback situation, which is exactly what we were saying about Jeff's team last offseason, and he went all in on Jared Goff, which is probably the one move that you could say here has not worked for Jeff at all. So, you know, we'll see on that one. I think maybe he and I should be talking. Maybe he should be offering me the Godfather package for Deshaun Watson. Who knows? I think this is a team that is all in on now. Obviously, he has the champion pick, but that's it. So we'll see what Jeff does with that. Good luck, Jeff. Should we transition over to mine? Because earlier we talked about wanting to have a little bit of podcast tiers. My tears are streaming down my cheeks as we speak. I've made so many bad decisions in the last year that at the time I was so excited about, and now they just look awful. So we already broke down the Deshaun Watson trade. I think Watson still has a ton of value. He's probably the guy that if I was to keep one player on my roster and not tear it down completely, he'd be the one to keep. Flip side is maybe his peak value is to trade him sooner. Who knows?
Or before last season, potentially.
Yeah, possibly. I've got Trubisky and I've got Brady. So two other quarterbacks that at least return a smidgen of value at this time. But not something to be excited about. I also have like no frickin' pick this year. So let's put that to the side. Running back, still decent on the squad. I've got Zeke. And then I've got David Johnson. And then in the stable, I've got Penny, which if we lose a season, his knee gets to heal and maybe he comes back. He was starting to show something. I don't know how much you guys are paying attention to that. But obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
Coming off a knee surgery, who knows? And then Darwin Thompson started to play a little bit more in the Super Bowl run. I'm optimistic that they're going to involve him more, but again, that's a big who knows. Wide receiver for my team, I've got Hopkins. I've got the worst move I've made was getting Corey Davis and trading a second rounder for that one mid last season. I really thought I was getting in on a good guy there. And then Brandon Cooks just got traded. I mean, this team is in shambles. Everything about this team is in shambles, if I'm being honest. Tight end, I still have Zach Ertz. I've got – do I have any other tight ends on this team? Foster Moreau.
Who?
Dawson Knox. Somebody just put me on my misery. Oh, I forgot to mention Kerryon Johnson's on this team. So that's good because Kerryon Johnson's actually at least a chip I want to have right now. But look, I mean, every bet that I made in the last 18 months has gone belly up. Really, every bet I've made in the last 18 months has been bad. So at this point, this team is looking at a rebuild. Come at me, folks. Find the guys you want on this team. Make me offers. It's time for me to tear it down. So. You wanna make me sad? Go ahead, make me sad. Alex, any thoughts?
Oh, I'm happy to make you sad. I mean, I see DeAndre Hopkins leaving Houston, not so much as anything other than the rats scurrying off of a sinking ship, and I think that it's actually an upgrade for Hopkins, but it's sad for you because you're. Best asset besides Hopkins is probably Watson. And now Watson loses a ton of value as his ship, you know, slides under the sea. I think Zeke had best case scenario in that they re-signed him for a big contract. Unfortunately, I think that he's also very likely to fall into that bucket of players who smoke too much weed and get real fat. Now that he's got his big fat contract, I would expect him to come in with a belly shirt, but an actual belly hanging out of that belly shirt. which honestly I'm looking forward to. I'm here for it. I think Cooks is a great fit in New Orleans, but at the same time, I think that he's probably
in Houston.
Yeah, he's in Houston now.
Cooks?
Yeah, they traded him.
Yeah, I thought Cooks was traded to – oh, no, you're right. It's not New Orleans. It's Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders went to New Orleans. You're right. Yeah, so Cooks in Houston. So man, all your players just swapped with other players of yours. Yeah.
Where did David Johnson end up?
David Johnson is also in Houston.
So they're all on the sinking ship. Everyone.
Alex, remember last week when we talked about how Salim was basically the Bears? Well, I'm basically the Texans now because I've got Watson, I've got Randall Cobb, I've got David Johnson, and I have
Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And a really, really bad general manager.
Yeah. So, like, basically, I just watch every Texans game and hope that it's a shootout.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to be super high variance. And
it's going to be a fun year.
Like, yeah, you don't have a defense or an offensive line, so that's problematic.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, so like, give me some advice, right? This is a podcast. What would you be looking to do, Alex?
Well, the first thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to open the car door. And then you're going to want to insert your genitalia, and then you're going to want to close the car door very quickly.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all I can tell you. No, it's if you can,
it's getting weird here.
It's gotten a little weird.
Been weird for years.
Belly shirts and yeah, all right.
You're going to win games. I mean, you're going to win a bunch of games, but it's not a good enough or stable enough team to win in the playoffs. I mean, like, the thing that when you're leveraged on one team and that team isn't an offensive juggernaut that's producing 40 points every week, it means that you're going to have weeks where you score nothing. And that's really bad for a team that has to win playoff games because you can't score nothing in the playoffs. So what I would say is at least diversify, if not sell off your assets, be aggressive.
So
about
what you're telling me is I need to figure out who is the tight end on the Texans and acquire that player as soon as possible.
So you can have the entire offense, yes.
That's right, yeah.
Is it still
tough? Yes.
You mentioned that I have Kiki Kuti on this team.
Oh, yes, you do.
All right, enough shaming me. There's work to be done here.
Picks. Can you get picks? You need picks, man. You need young guys.
Yeah, what I want is to trade not into this year's draft, but into next year's draft.
Yeah.
Because I want a complete teardown. I want to be drafting 101 overall next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off, honestly. I don't, because I need to get value on the pieces that I've got. All right, Joe, let's give you your moment in the sun.
Okay.
Two years removed from a title now.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk us through your roster? I think there's definitely much to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, you know how much time I spend on this. My quarterback room is Murray, and that's it. You know, Stafford and the Red Rifle is probably no longer, but I need help with quarterback. I've got some picks, so I'm looking, obviously hoping that quarterbacks fall into my lap. There's some good guys, so I'm looking forward to that. Let me see who if I can get in on one of these guys, maybe Tua, who knows. There's a lot of questions at running back. I mean, obviously I've got what's his face from Tennessee.
Derrick Henry, Melvin Gordon,
yeah,
Carson. And then you've got Kareem Hunt, who just re-signed with Cleveland. So that's
really good. He's got some guys.
Didn't he tender?
He was there. I think he had a 2-year deal, I believe, 3-year deal, something like that. So he's still there.
And Alex, he's also got Daryl Henderson, who is one of the major beneficiaries of the current Gurley situation of leaving the Rams.
So, yeah. Until so I like Yeah, until they draft a guy. I don't know. It's something weird with that guy. Just watching last year, like, why isn't this guy getting some play? So who knows? Who knows with him? But he's a trump card. And a lot of that's been working out. When I take one of those guys, I've been getting lucky. But who knows? He's the other trump card in the running back room. Receiver. I know I got two young guys in a trade a couple years ago that I'm really high on. Chris, you could probably talk about those guys. So I'm looking decent there. And tight end. I've got 1,000 tight ends. I think I've got strength in a lot of places. Obviously, the quarterback's the glaring weakness, but it's been fun just kind of throwing it all together on the fly. I think I'm in a pretty decent position. I mean, I could see myself in the playoffs again this year.
I think you will make the playoffs
if I get lucky.
You know, I think you will make the playoffs again. I think it's interesting. I'm lower on your wide receiver stable than you are.
Yeah, no. I think so too. I think there's still a lot of projects in there, and that's another, like, quarterback and wide receiver are my two.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got Deontay Johnson and Miles Boykin both, like, growing into their roles, like, on that bench, and I like that. I think Larry Fitzgerald is going to have a good season again too. So I think you're going to piece.
Is he coming back? No.
Yeah, he is.
Is he really? Oh, I gave up on him.
There are rumors that he has already that he wants 2 years with.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. I mean, at this point, it's not out of the realm of possibility that in the back of his mind, he wants to challenge the Jerry Rice numbers, and he can.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy for another, you know, 4 or 5 years. So
yeah.
I think he's definitely back this year. We'll see. I think with your Tyler Boyd situation, you have to hope that Burrow and Boyd are the right connection, because he's had a monster year and then a good year.
Right.
Is he a wide receiver one? I don't think so.
No,
and DJ Moore is cresting. You know, another new quarterback situation there too. That's another situation for you to watch. I would say that your wide receivers are adequate, your mm-hmm. running backs are great. And your quarterback, you know, situation.
Abysmal.
I don't think it's abysmal. You're sitting
you
on
Murray. That's it.
He's got a top five, and you know, if you can then get somebody in the top 20 as a second guy, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's not abysmal.
Yeah.
This is definitely a playoff team in my eyes, Alex.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. I think this is a playoff team. I think between Murray and Stafford, you're selling yourself slightly short. I think that is a totally fine if kind of relatively high variance quarterback room. And I think Fitzgerald will probably be your wide receiver one this year. That seems to me more likely than not. I don't really love Teddy Bridgewater for DJ Moore as a starting quarterback.
No.
And
take two gloves.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that Tyler Boyd is a star in the league. I think he's a supporting guy. You know, I think that he's more of a wide receiver three who will have, you know, nice flashy weeks. But
maybe this can be an opportunity for the first ever on podcast trade. I mean, Joe, you should probably be knocking on my door for DeAndre Hopkins is what we're learning here.
I did 3 years ago and you told me to go F myself. So.
Well,
I don't know. We'll see.
Now's the time. Now, that's the piece you need. That's the piece you need.
I don't know. I'm not a huge believer in that quarterback and with the Rams, though.
Hopkins is on the Cardinals, my friend.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. I thought he went to the Rams. Anyway, yeah, we can talk.
All right. I think on that note, with DeAndre Hopkins on the Rams and me, you know, crying into my tears. I mean, Alex, do you have any further thoughts? I mean, we've gone a little long here.
No, I think there's a lot of teams that are in a very similar place right now. I think this offseason has been an equalizer where it's not that the good teams have gotten better. They've actually kind of, you know, everyone's kind of regressed to the mean a little bit. And this season, if it happens, should be a hoot, because I have no idea what it's going to look like. You know, last season I had a pretty good idea of what I thought it would look like. I wasn't right, but at least I had a thesis. Now I've got no idea. So I'm excited because I like the idea of just a whole season that's just D&D dice rolls. Where they're like, I don't know, what happens now? 17, great, perfect, let's go.
Yeah. Well, my team, got to the troll under the bridge, and I rolled all once, and now everyone's dead. So, problem. I'm gonna close us out here, guys, with one final question. If 10 is an utter emergency and 1 is you're totally fine, what is your TP emergency level in your home at this time?
I go with the flushable wipes, so I'm a solid 10. I feel good about it.
So that would mean you're a 1.
I'm a 1. Yeah, no, I'm not worried. I'm not
Alex,
worried.
How about you?
We had a successful Costco run or two in there before the panic hit. I'm a good prepper, and also I'm a big believer in Team Bidet. I am on Team Bidet, and it is the best. So I would say that we are also very much ones. How about you, Chris?
We're also ones because Georgia is one of those Amazon shoppers that for years had the monthly subscription for toilet paper at roughly twice as much as we needed. And so we've not purchased any
stockpile
during this time, but we're still only like halfway through our stockpile. So we're doing okay. other than hearing about Alex's bidet, which is probably the worst thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
I mean, you set us up.
I think right now you need to change your team name from Prince Humperdinck to Team Bidet.
I think given what you described, Chris, maybe you should change yours to Flushable Wipes.
Oh, okay. But I'm bummed. All right.
Is it time to stop recording? She can't tell.
I wish you safety. I wish you happiness. I wish us all football when it can come. And
please.
Something to watch on the TV when it's safe for everyone. Until then, keep listening, guys. Let us know if you want to join us. Alex, Joe, thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Yep. All right.
Take it easy.